Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as I-495, the Capitol Beltway around Washington, D.C.
And this is Tex broadcasting from high above Houston, the Crystal Cathedral. Sorry about that. Blog Talk Radio decided to play an ad really loud, and I decided that our audience probably wouldn't want to hear that. But, yes, yeah, so this is Tex, and we're here. And, I think a lot of people were excited about this election. Certainly when it started, I know I was excited about it because, you know, we're going to have this titanic battle, this Manichean struggle, if you will, of the forces of all that's right and true in the world against the forces of darkness and government control and everything. And, that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes the bad guy wins. So,
it wasn't scheduled.
Yeah, and, it was sort of, I think, long about, March, a lot of us realized that, not to trust the Republican Party anymore and to live the rest of your life filled with doubt and fear. And, it was at that point that you realized that the nightmare of your own life had just begun. So now we're heading up to November 6th, and it's looking pretty bleak because, no matter how I look at it, how you slice it, I think Romney might win, which is terrible. But then I think, oh, God, Obama could win, and that's just terrible, too. So, I'm kind of caught between Catskilla and Charybdis. Yes.
Yep.
I catch 22.
And Charybdis. Exactly. Well, I agree. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is our last regularly scheduled broadcast before Election Day. Today's November 1st. We are broadcasting at our usual time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And we will be back on the air Sunday, November 4th, at 11 p.m. following the Ralph Nader-sponsored alternate party debate at Busboys and Poets on 14th Street in Washington, which will include...
Busboys and Poets. Oh, God, I used to live near that place.
Yeah, especially they kind of do a lot of interesting things there. It's pretty cool place, but it's great that they're hosting this debate, and it's going to have Gary Johnson with the Libertarian Party, Jill Stein with the Green Party, Rocky Anderson with the Justice Party, and Virgil Good of the Constitution Party, which is very exciting because they had the Free and Equal debate in Chicago week before last, which was quite excellent, although far shorter than any of us would really like. You've got four candidates, and they're actually having a debate. We managed to only get through six topics, and as exciting as it was, a couple of the topics I think we could have done without and gotten to something a little heavier. But overall, it was very exciting because we actually, for once this year, had a real debate, at least since the Republicans, got rid of Newt, who actually knows how to debate, and Dr. Paul.
With all respect to the Republican leadership, if you have a candidate out there that's talking about things and ideas, that could be controversial, and then next thing you know, people start thinking for themselves, or the campaign starts being about something, and then, you know, who knows what could happen. So best just have like an idiot tool, Democrat light who agrees with the Democratic Party on everything, just saying America and I have a plan and I'm going to fix that every 5 seconds. Really, that's,
yeah.
That's the smart money is on that.
I agree with you. That's how insipid and banal they are. But I have to take issue with your one comment, Democrat light. I don't see Romney as Democrat light. I mean, he's just a Democrat.
Yeah,
you know, I don't see a difference. But
he's a high-calorie Democrat. He's not a light Republican. He's not a low-cal Republican. He's a heavy, fat Democrat. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all in. And Tex, the other interesting thing is that Free and Equal is actually having their sequel debate on November 5th that was originally scheduled for October 30th, but this Hurricane Sandy, quote, superstorm, whatever the hell a superstorm is, hit, so they had to move it to November 5th.
Aren't they all superstorms anymore? Can't they all be winners?
Yeah. Why are we discriminating one class of storm against another? They're all super.
When I was up there in D.C., man, they're like, you know, every time it snowed, it's going to be the worst thing ever, and who could believe in the snow? It's, you know, seriously, it was like the weatherman would look at you and like, I don't want to alarm anyone. Run for your lives! Fucking snow!
Yeah.
It's snow,
well,
I mean... It happens. Why are we excited? But now, oh, my God, it's raining. Like, it's special. Everybody break out the party hats. It's raining. Everybody collect Pop-Tarts and toilet paper. Freaking
yeah.
Raining today.
Yeah. To be fair, this was a terrible storm, predominantly for the coastal areas, especially north and east of the Eye, which is basically just about anything north of Baltimore and south of Boston. So, you know, New York and Jersey got rocked, and it's a bad situation, but the idea of superstorm is just foolish, because the fact is that we've had storms like this. They just don't usually hit the East Coast when there's a cold front, but we have storms like this, and
for the record, I drove from Washington, D.C. to New York City in the midst of a freaking blizzard, okay? I went on I-95. I had someone in the car, so she was a witness, and we drove up there. And being from Texas, I did not realize that the, you know, windshield wiper fluid, that there was like a winter variety, because
yeah.
I never used this down here. And so as I was driving through the blizzard up to New York City and I was using my windshield wipers, ice was building up on it. So you know what we did? We rolled down the windows, and as I drove through this blizzard, I reached forward and I grabbed my windshield wipers. I pulled it out and I slammed it as hard as I could against the windshield until the ice broke off. And we did that like 10 times, and we never stopped. We just kept going the whole freaking way. And I passed the snowplows. So people, they're sitting there going 20 miles an hour behind the snowplows. These snowplows, they got the one in, like, the outside lane, the far left-hand lane, the fast lane, he's going. And then they got another one, but he's spaced out a little bit behind him in the next lane. And it's like four in a row, because I-95, you got four lanes, right, in different parts. And so, you know, I'm burning along, and I'm trying to get to New York City. You know, I'm not hanging out here on the freaking highway. You know, who gives a crap about this? And so I burned through their little thing. I got behind the front ice dude, and boom, cut through him. And then I'm just going through 60 miles an hour, no ice, from Texas. Hey, all these
yep.
Northeast guys.
Words of the wise, though, don't follow the plows too closely, because they are spraying salt. But, you know, nonetheless, even though it is verifiably a bad storm, and a lot of people are in a bad way, and several people have died, may God rest their souls, but the amazing politicization of the weather to turn it, you know, because it's got to be a superstorm because of the unstable climate, because of global climate change that's definitely anthropogenic or man-made, so everything's political. So, I mean, you know, the thing is that
I saw the
recent polls,
9 out of 10 clouds are disappointed with these two candidates.
There you go. Maybe, you know what, I think God or Mother Nature, depending on how you view it, might be a little perturbed with these two candidates, because this storm came right for the I-95 corridor between corporatist Wall Street and corporatist Pennsylvania Avenue, which I thought was interesting. But irrespective, they moved the Free and Equal debate to November 5th, which is Election Eve. Unfortunately, this is the Free not-so-equal debate because they had an online poll following the last debate to pick the two candidates who would go to the next debate, which I think is foolish, and I'm glad that Ralph Nader stepped up and put all four of them who have access to 270 electors in the debate. But the one on November 5th will have only Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, and Jill Stein with the Green Party. Now, that's not so bad because at least
I think they should run Mr. Green Jeans.
Mr. Green Jeans. Yeah, why not?
As a kid, it was good.
Vote Green
anyway,
Jeans.
Sorry, I digress.
But the interesting thing, Tex, is that even though maybe not my cup of tea, you know, Jill Stein, socialist and all, at least she's there kind of putting forward the professed Democrat agenda. And Gary Johnson, albeit a libertarian and quite liberal on, quote, social issues and civil liberties, while very conservative on fiscal issues, is kind of putting forward the slash conservative or Republican idea. Now, that doesn't mean that those are the two candidates you should vote for. You got to make up your own mind. But at least the day before the election, we get a true debate between two people who are principled on their side of how you view the world. So I think that's pretty exciting. At least it'll kind of bone us up right before we go to the polls as to, you know, the actual difference between ideologies, which has been absent from the duopoly debates with Mitt Obama and Barack Romney or whatever.
Well, exactly. And, no, look, I just want to point out, for conservatives, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, all right? You just got betrayed. You just got played, you know? And I know this hasn't sunk in yet. Some of you have already voted, so you've done your civic duty, so you can sit back now and you can start to collect your thoughts. You're so anxious about Election Day that, you know, I'm here to say don't worry, because who gives a crap about what happens on Election Day, because you're screwed one way or another. And, you know, I mentioned this before. Don't want to repeat myself, so I'll let other people make my point for me, but what I've been concerned about from the get-go is that the Republican leadership and or Wall Street and the powers that be wanted Romney from the get-go. And they hate Republicans, conservatives. They hate Republicans and they hate conservatives, right? So they get us to run our party and pretend to be us. And so
yeah,
the whole deal was to shut off actual conservatives from running. So the more conservatives who ran, the better. Because they would just get them on, they would split the vote. And then they would find the weakest one, Rick Santorum, and they would pretend that he was the most powerful, important one, even though his record is wretched and his ability to get elected to anything dubious. And where the hell is that guy? You don't even see him on TV anymore. You know why? Because Romney's like, get the fuck off TV because you're an embarrassment, dude. That's what they're saying. They're telling him, like, we don't want to see you out there speaking for us. They'll bring you to, like, conventions because those are, like,
that's harsh.
You know,
that's harsh,
yeah,
man. That Romney's calling you an embarrassment, man. That's
harsh. Mitt Romney style. Anyway,
yeah.
You know, you'll see him at the conventions because I've been there and I get the invites like you guys do. He's always speaking at some Republican Party function because they figure he's like, you know, I don't know, Republican Party syphilis or cancer or herpes or something. Like, just keep it at the convention, but don't – it never goes on TV. Nobody wants to hear that. But like, this Newt guy is kind of telegenic. People kind of connect with him, so they let Newt get out there, right? But anyway, so the whole narrative was going to be that if Romney lost or still could lose, that conservatives cost him the election because he had to go so far to the right. Oh, Romney. My God, Romney's so far to the right now. It's like I'm over here with warm arms just trying to embrace the guy, not punch him in the head at all because I can't stand him.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever went to the right, but that's their narrative. And they tried this thing out
yep.
in September when the guy was losing. Now, the alternative narrative is if he wins, that conservatives don't matter. So guess what? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Your own party just sold you out. And also, here's the interesting thing. We're actually the majority of the country. Go figure. So what's the future of this party going to be? The party that went from, you know, 31% support in 1990 all the way down to 24% support in 2012. This party
yeah.
that is rocketing up to success, down to failure, by jettisoning us, apparently thinks that it's going to get some new life, new lease on life by stabbing us in the back some more. So here, hot off the press, is what the Washington press, and part of the press being a very important part of the establishment because it is the mouthpiece of the establishment. This is what David Brooks says today. Long-winded BS. And then he says, at the same time, Romney would probably be faced with a Democrat Senate. He would also observe the core lesson of this campaign. Oh, David Brooks, take me home. What could be the core lesson of this campaign? It is conservatism loses, moderation wins. Oh, guys, making my point, right? This is the whole thing. This is what the establishment's been trying to do since the beginning of this election. You're going to hear this shit for the next four fucking years. I mean, these guys screwed you over. And then, but the douchebag continues. Romney's prospects began to look decent only when he shifted to the center. No, it's fuck this guy. A President Romney, God forbid, would look at the way the Tea Party extremism, hey, this government's just printing up fucking money and calling it money, and it's not really money, and then they're borrowing it and making us pay it back later without our say-so, right? It's literally taxation without representation. Taking out a loan from the Fed without checking with us, and then passing the bill on to us later, is that not, my friends, taxation without representation? Are you represented at the Fed? Do you get to vote on these guys? No, you don't. Okay. So then he says, Tea Party extremism had cost the GOP seats in Delaware and Nevada and possibly Missouri and Indiana. Because
bullshit, we gave them the House in 2010.
Exactly. We gave them the fucking House. And what did they do with it? Jack shit. They used that power, John Boehner used that power to assassinate the careers of people in the Tea Party. And you know who actually lost those elections that he mentions in Delaware, Nevada, and Missouri, and Indiana? The fucking Romneyite moderates who wanted to make sure that no actual conservatives got into power, and they went in, they got in those campaigns, and they sabotaged them, and they went on the media, and they sabotaged them, and they told people they could never win, and they shouldn't vote for them because they were too extreme. They strangled them in the cradle, and now they blame you when they're the ones who did it. So the douchebag continues. To get reelected in a country with a rising minority population and a shrinking Republican coalition. Okay, so this is the new thing, right, which is that minorities want welfare checks. Okay, so if you're out there and people say that you're a minority, say you're Hispanic, apparently they think that you're a minority. Say you're black, you're a minority. If you're Asian, you're a minority. And what all of you want are welfare checks and government largesse. What you apparently do not want is an opportunity to have a chance to succeed in society, not to be taxed into fucking oblivion, and you certainly don't want a pro-business environment where, as I've seen from my own eyes here in Texas, people come to this country from Mexico, they start out with a small little cart selling burritos, empanadas, whatever the heck it is. It becomes very popular. People seek these places out. I mean, many times in my life, they're like, you have got to go to this place. They have the best, and it's just a dude in a cart. And you're like, how could this thing be good? And then you get it, you're like, holy crap, this is like the best thing I've ever eaten. Next thing you know, the guy's got a restaurant, and then everyone's going to that restaurant. And then he's got three or five restaurants. You think that dude wants a government check? No. Okay, but anyway. So to get reelected in the country with a rising minority population and a shrinking Republican coalition, yes, the Republican Party is shrinking because it's becoming the Democrat Party, Romney's shape-shifting nature would induce him to govern as a center-right moderate. To get his tax and entitlement reforms to the Democrat Senate, Romney would have to make some serious concessions, increase taxes on the rich as part of an overall reform, abandon the most draconian spending cuts in Paul Ryan's budget, reduce the size of his lavish tax cut problem. And so, essentially, my friends, translation, Romney will sell out. But what will he sell out? Well, what he will sell out is you. And you've already been bought and sold. It's over for you. This is what I've been telling you from the get-go. You got to get rid of Obama. We got to get rid of him because he's so bad. Yeah, but here's the thing. You replace them with a guy who's going to do you in. But they've already written your obituary. If Romney fucking loses, at least you can say, see, this rhino shit doesn't work. This is why your party support has gone from 31% down to 24%. This isn't working. This is called failure. But because they so frightened you about how horrible Obama is, even though Mitt Romney has exactly the same policies, you just did yourself in. So good work, you jerks. Thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, it's a pleasure being on the same team with you. By the way, could you please get the fuck off this team? Seriously, you're fucking us. You're really, I'm sorry, I'm irritated. I'm just irritated, and, you know, I don't know. I can't be in a foxhole with dudes pulling grenades, fucking sitting them under my ass, and I'm like, hey, you know, at least this guy running at me on the other side, you know, I could see him coming. I didn't know I was going to get that thing in the, you know, stab in the back there. I didn't know you were going to stick that grenade up my ass. I really didn't like that, you know. So then here we have, this is Slates. Okay, so let's go to these guys. Sorry, Rex, but I really am. I just kind of had it up to here. You know, some
no,
days
I got you.
I don't care.
I got you.
Okay.
Look, sometimes, you know, and this is just kind of temper it a little bit just because, you know, it's so easy for all of us who are actually conservative and concerned about politics. It's just easy to get dejected.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
But we're the last line of defense. So, you know, we got to bone up and we got to get active and we got to get busy. But let's just knock out a little housekeeping and then let's get into that Slate article because I think this is a great topic. Following the Free and Equal sequel on November 5th, we're going to be broadcasting at 11 p.m. So you can check us out Sunday, 11 p.m., and Monday, 11 p.m. And then, of course, we've got Election Day. And then we will be back the following day, which is November 7th, at 10 p.m. for post-election analysis. So between now and then, we're going to do what we've been doing, you know, looking at these articles and talking about the very simple fact that no matter what the hell happens on November 6th, conservatives are going to take the blame. So if you're truly a conservative or a libertarian or some kind of constitutionalist, be prepared to take the blame. As this article that Tex was reading already tells us, it's our fault. You've got to be strong. And we're going to talk about how you might feel no matter what the results are. And Tex, to me, and before you get a Slate article, just let me know. To me, I see three possible scenarios. I'll start with the most remote one. The most remote scenario is that nobody gets 270 electors, or that it's a, you know, Gore-Bush 2000 fiasco.
You know who your electors
you know,
are? Because we picked ours at the Texas convention. I know who mine is, and believe me, he's not down with doing anything that would rock the boat. He's basically just, you know, got his lips locked on that, you know, elephant, you know what, and he's not going to be doing anything.
No, they're not. But I mean, if this happens, okay, where there's a Gore-Bush 2000, you know, problem with voting, checking out intimidation and court cases that, you know, we won't know on November 7th, and that could go on for a while.
Did you notice the interesting thing about Gore-Bush? Was that fought out in the Electoral College?
Negative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's fought in the Supreme Court. What happened to the Electoral College?
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Which
is
ridiculous.
This is what the Emperor Augustus did, okay? So, mm-hmm. Little history, make it very quick, right? So Julius Caesar, kind of an arrogant bastard, and so people didn't like him, so they tried to screw him really hard, and they made it real obvious. He's like, look at this. This is unjust. And people are like, yeah, it is pretty unjust. I mean, Julius Caesar's a jerk and all, but, I mean, that's not just. And so he marches on Rome, and then he becomes a dictator, which actually is a legitimate office in the Roman Empire, exists for 5 years. And then at the end of his 5 years, instead of stepping down like Cincinnatus did, by the way, the first biography of Washington, George Washington, was called Cincinnatus because Cincinnatus in the Roman Empire had dictatorial powers, and he resigned it just like Washington did.
To go become a farmer, to go back and become a farmer.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So Caesar did not resign his dictatorial power, and he wanted to be dictator for life. And then they introduced his organs to new ways that they could breathe oxygen directly from the outside. And then his son Augustus, they sort of rounded this dude up and they're like, hey, man, you know, you're going to be the emperor and all this kind of stuff. He's like, hey, I don't, you know, want to get stabbed all over. I think that would be a bad thing. And so what he did is he finally came into power.
I have enough ventilation holes. I don't need any more.
Yeah, exactly. This windpipe's working real good. I don't need to breathe directly into my spleen. You know, turns out my adoptive father tried that. That's not good. It doesn't work. It looks good on paper, but, you know.
A2 trachea?
Yeah, exactly. A2 trachea. So what he did was he allowed the old organs of government to continue to exist as if they actually existed, but secretly behind the scenes he took control of them by making sure that his agenda was always the first agenda of the day and none of the other agenda actually got up on the agenda. Same thing now with the Electoral College, same thing now with the delegates. Your republic is being strangled in the cradle and you're watching it die in front of you.
Mm-mm.
And the emperors are
You're
taking
cheering
over.
It along. You're not watching it die, you're cheering it along.
And you're supporting it. And so, you know, you got to get this thing back. But once again, they have already sold you down the river. Perhaps it's time you want to go to the Slate article or you want to talk about something else for a second before we get to that.
No, let's go into the Slate article and then I'll do my little thing and then maybe at the top of the hour we'll open up the line. So get into Slate.
Okay, sure. So... this is Slate, some left-wing jerk writing. I'll scroll up, make sure I don't lose my highlighting. John Dickerson, respectable name. And so he goes on, blah, 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 I'm John Dickerson, and I'm a big liberal, and I hate you. And then he says, it's conventional Republican wisdom that Romney succeeded in the first debate because voters, particularly married women voters, found him to be a likable, moderate fellow. I'm female and apparently not too bright about political affairs, but he seems like an amiable dunce, doesn't he? He seems like an amiable guy. I just want to vote for an amiable fellow. You know, the women I know and hang out with, they're not this dumb. But apparently John Dickerson thinks so, and this is what they think over at Slate. But they just like, hey, he seemed like a nice dude, nice guy. Anybody want to vote for the nice guy? So then he says, the campaign has been running with this ever since. Previously, Romney has been downplaying his conservative positions. Now he is either running away or in some cases, like his position on legislation to allow companies to deny employees contraceptive coverage, actively changing them to a more moderate posture. Parentheses, if the election were held on New Year's Day, he might come out for Obamacare. Okay, so this isn't the end of where I want to go with this article, but do you see what they're already saying? Is that Romney has abandoned conservatives as we knew he would. He never adopted our cause. He never picked up the cause. All he did was don our jersey and then buy out everyone. Your party is for sale. Going back to Roman history, the Carthaginians once said of Rome, all Rome is a market just looking for a buyer. And they tried to buy the damn thing out. And you know what? They came pretty damn close to it. That's what's happening right now. Mitt Romney's like, the Republicans say they believe this stuff, but you could probably just buy them out because they're all on the take. All these people in power are on the take. And you know what? I got Wall Street's money. And you know what? Wall Street has all the money of the world, right? Everybody's in hawk to that and to the Fed, so I could use all the money of the world. I could just go buy out the Republican Party. And they kind of did. And you kind of went along with it. And now they're selling you down the freaking river and spitting on your name as they do it. So, to continue with the Slate article, this leads to some head-spinning conversations with Romney, strategists, and surrogates. More than once, they have boasted that what people are now seeing is the true Romney. They remind you that their candidate had to withstand all of those accusations that he was moderate Mitt during the primary season. That's proof that he's always been the far more reasonable, centered candidate, unlike the unreasonable Gingrich balancing the budget. What a jerk. You know who balanced the budget? It wasn't Gingrich, it was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's awesome because he balanced the budget. That's why Barack Obama got a bounce out of that convention. But Newt Gingrich is not moderate Gingrich or moderate Newt. Anyway, so what makes you reach for the Dramamine is that when Romney was being called moderate Mitt, he and his campaign were steadfastly rebutting that label. It was about this time that Romney started calling himself severely conservative. You've been lied to, man. You've been lied to. And now, because you went along with it, this is what I've been trying to say the whole time. because you went along with it, because you were so afraid of Obama, you nestled the viper to your chest. That's what you did. And now you're fucked. What are you going to do now? And then everybody, you got your Mark Levin, your Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, he says, I'm not a Republican, I'm a conservative.
Bullshit.
I support Mitt Romney. Fuck you. Bullshit. No, you're not. You're a Republican. There's nothing conservative about Sean Hannity. And he may think, oh, no, I'm actually conservative. No, you're not, because you went along with this shit. The whole time you went along with it. And you got on people's cases when they complained about Mitt Romney when they called into your show. You know, Mark Levin, oh, we got to watch Romney. We got to watch this Romney guy. Screw you. You weren't watching him before. Now all of a sudden he's freaking got an eagle eye on this dude. I don't believe you. Rush Limbaugh, fuck
I
you.
I just don't believe you.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh, this, he's like, oh, and Chief Wagga Wagga, head of the conservative movement and everything. You let this dude in through the wire, man. You got the biggest megaphone out there, so you claim. You let him in. And then you
what
shit on anybody you criticize.
Wagga Wagga? What the hell is a Chief Wagga Wagga?
I don't know. Something to do with their ball sack. Anyway, I just, look, I'm about habit. Because at a certain point, you get into, you know, a fight, a battle, you come to a moment of clarity, and you see where people are actually standing. And we're just screwed. We're getting sold down the river. And so, moderate Mitch, he's won, and he's won in your name. And now what they will start doing is you're going to welcome to the new civil war in the Republican Party. They are either going to purge you or you are going to purge them. But you now have a house divided against itself called the Republican Party, and it cannot stand. It is now full-on, full-contact, you know, battle between conservatives and moderates in the Republican Party after this election.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they can't win without us.
That's right.
But what, are Democrats joining us? They all of a sudden, hey, check out how moderate Mitt is. I want to get out of this Democrat thing, and I want to get into that Republican thing. Now we got Democrats all up in the House? No. You know, so
I'll
look,
take,
the thing is,
I'll
either
take
we
issue
fix
with
this
that
party or it's
Tex,
done.
Tex, let me just take a little issue with that, because I think they can, quote, win without us. Because I don't think that they're going to necessarily count the votes appropriately. And that's a pretty terrible thing, because it doesn't mean that they've just stolen this party and put a liberal Democrat corporatist Keynesian at the top of the ticket, but it also means that they've stolen the election machines, which means that we're not really having an election.
Occam's razor, the easiest explanation went. And the easiest explanation is, all these stupid Republicans just went along with Romney because he's a Republican, and they didn't think about it because they were had all this fear drummed up about Obama. They didn't have time to pay attention. That's the same damn opinion. Rigging voting machines, okay, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but that's not why he won, right? He won because so many Republicans sold themselves out, and thinking that they were doing the right thing and saving the Republic, they sold themselves out.
Yeah.
That they made it possible, because if all the Republicans didn't vote for Romney and went somewhere else, wherever the hell that happened to be, Romney wouldn't get it. You know? And you can't rig enough voting machines to give it to him.
No, they don't have to.
So that's what happened.
Right, they'll pick one or two. But here's the issue, and this is the way that I see it, is that the duopoly is putting up a Democratic candidate who doesn't express any of the Democratic, I guess you can call them principles. I mean, I don't agree with the Democrats, so it's hard for me to say that. But they're, you know, they're what they believe in. And the Republicans put up a, quote, Republican who doesn't believe in anything in which we believe in. And they're almost identical, so that the oligarchy wins no matter which jerk-off is actually made president. And the problem is that Democrats are so friggin' afraid of severely conservative Romney that they're going to reelect Obama, who's let them down. And Republicans are so friggin' afraid of Marxist Obama that they're going to vote for Romney. And this is the stupidity of the average voter. Now, Rex, you sound unoptimistic about America, the American people. Well, I'm not unoptimistic. I'm a realist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. Realistically speaking, and the founding fathers agree with me, the average voter is a fucking moron.
when it comes to politics. Therefore, if you give them the power merely to show up once every 4 years, even though we have elections every single year, and all they have to do is vote, pull the lever for whoever marketed their message best to them, then they're ill-qualified to run the republic, which is precisely why they put in processes to demand that in order to be politically active, you have to do more than show up once every 4 years without doing any research or knowing anything that's going on and push a friggin' button. And this is, by the way, Tex, this is the attack that I've been hearing in defense of when I make a point to these Romney morons, and I tell, and you know, let's be clear, some of them are actually good conservative people who are just fooled, okay? But when I make the argument to them, like, how can you support a guy in our party who's not only not a conservative, who actually stands on the opposite side on the issues of what we believe, but who also stole the nomination? Well, he didn't steal the nomination. The Ron Paul delegates were taking advantage and manipulating the rules to get him the nomination. No, they were not. They were not. Yeah, they were not manipulating the rules. Well, but the people voted, and they voted overwhelmingly for Romney, and then the Ron Paul delegates would show up at the caucus, and they would stuff it with Ron Paul people. Exactly.
And it's so subservient that they fucking did it.
Exactly.
And you know what? The leadership, it's not like they're dim. They know, like, hey, you know, I'm Karl Rove over here. I own the largest freaking super PAC. Also, I got, you know, they put me on Fox News. When I'm on Fox News, I'm the first guest, so everybody watches me. And I tell them what to do. And then I got, you know, $1 billion behind me to go run the ads and make people do what I say, right? And I'm just going to tell them to vote Romney. You know why? Fucking get paid by the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you watched it, and then you did it. Right? They always talk about, I never vote against my own interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. You do it all the time.
Yep.
Because paying attention actually requires you putting forward some effort and not just listening to what Bill O'Reilly has to say or fucking Karl Rove or John Sununu. Jesus Christ, look, just rule of thumb. If John Sununu says it, fuck him. Whatever he says, just do the fucking opposite. Your whole life will be a lot better. You know, John Sununu is for this shit. What have I done in my life that's so wrong that I, you know, John Sununu is agreeing with me on something. If that ever happens, I mean, seriously, you need to do some soul searching. You probably need to go out in the desert, you know, I don't know, find
take
a spirit animal or something. Yeah, take some peyote, find a spirit animal to lead you, you know, some truth or something. But if John Sununu is agreeing with you, your life is going completely wrong.
Yeah, you have to approach it from the Costanza perspective. Whatever your inclination is, if it happens to agree with John Sununu, go the opposite way.
I mean, it's really, sometimes life can be easy like that. But a lot of people, they just, well, you know, I don't know. Bill O'Reilly said he's the most electable, so I guess I'm going to vote for him because he's the most electable. What are you doing? What are you thinking? You're not thinking. You're just like, oh, he's electable, so I'm going to vote for him because he's electable. You're not even looking at what he stands for, what you stand for. You don't stand for anything. That's really what the problem is when it comes down to it. You don't have any core beliefs except, I don't like Barack Obama and I don't like the Democrats. Okay?
Ooh.
All right. Look, I don't like Obama and I don't like the Democrats either. But at a certain point, you just got to kind of evaluate, you know, particularly, I guess, maybe if you've been, Daedalus, you flew a little close to the sun there, you know, and you kind of saw a little too much. Obama's foreign policy, okay, is getting out of Afghanistan. Anybody disagreeing with this thing? Getting out of Afghanistan in 2014, that's what he said, right? So he's pulling out of various parts of the country and all this kind of stuff. You know what Romney Ryan said? Yeah, I'd get out of the country too. I don't have a problem with 2014. I just wouldn't have told anybody. Okay, does anybody here seriously think you can pull 100,000 troops out of a country and not tell anyone and have them not notice? Like, hey, remember how there used to be like, about 100,000 Americans rolling around here like AC-130 gunships and B-52 bombers. Yo, all of a sudden I don't see them.
There's three guys from Eritrea on top of some mountain in Afghanistan. Go, holy shit, the Americans fucking left, man. They left us here, man. What are we going to do?
Holy shit, they're getting on that helicopter and they're flying away. Why didn't they tell us? You can't. I mean, what kind of policy is that? But you're like, yeah, I wouldn't have told anyone either. I just got fuck out of there. I wouldn't have said a word, man. That Obama's dumb. I mean, never mind you talked 40 nations in. You basically forced them. Back when they went in, I mean, that was a Bush policy. Like, hey, El Salvador, we give you a lot of money. You're sending dudes over. Like, ah, you know, no, it's bueno. I don't really want to go to freaking Afghanistan. Like, no, no. We just sent you, like, $5 billion, dude. You're good for, like, 40 guys. Just send 40 guys. So you're not going to tell those dudes? You know, and then when you tell them, like, hey, you know, El Salvador, you might want to start, you know, packing your tents and everything. You don't have to do it today. I'm just saying, like, in a month, you probably want to start packing your tents and everything. Get out of here. They're like, why? Why would we do that? And like, well, it's because we're splitting. Oh, okay, you're splitting. Well, don't you think they're going to go tell people in their country and in a global media someone's going to tell someone?
Never happens. That never happens, Tex. That's crazy talk. Hey, Tex, we got about 20
minutes. Sorry.
Yeah. So I was just saying,
I could go on.
I know, and we will go on. I just want to take a little break and say we got about 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Sometime around the top of the hour, we're going to open up the lines for callers, and what we're talking about is how we got here and what's likely to happen on the morning of November 7th if we have a winner in this race. Also, we'll be broadcasting right through midnight, and then I believe at midnight, Constitutional Conservatives Unite. Sammy Sanford will be broadcasting a live show, so make sure to hop over there following Tex and Rex. And also, please, in Blog Talk Radio, right under the show icon, click follow on the show, and you will be given notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile as to when we are broadcasting. And if you are on Facebook, please go to the Tex and Rex Show, that's the word and spelled out, and like our page, and we'll be posting the shows and the archives and such there as well. So back to the rant text. Like I said, we got about 25 minutes. I brought up the Ron Paul delegates, and now some people think that they gamed the system, although those are our rules, and being politically active means actually knowing something about politics and not just showing up to push a button.
The Republican Party doesn't want people who are interested in politics and will go, you know, swim through lava in order to support their candidates and the party. They want those people to go away. This actually, this is like the genius success that this party is going to have in the future. Oh, let's get rid of these party activists. This always works.
Fuck the grassroots. We're going to run this thing from a command center. We're going to have the, quote, presumptive nominee, whoever we selected, pick the delegates to make it appear as if that there is some kind of electoral process, and we're just going to run the biggest douchebag who's going to do our bidding in both the Democrat and Republican Party, and people will think that they're voting for somebody when actually they're just getting the same crappy
because
policies
welcome
over
to the
and
end
over
of the
and
Republic.
Over again.
Because welcome to the end of the Republic, you have now reached the Empire.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
the Sith has taken over.
The central governors will now tell you what to do. The grass party, you know, the grassroots of the party are not needed, okay? So you don't need to go out there and hold signs. You don't need to go out there and do anything. You don't even need to give your money because they got Wall Street's money. So save yourself a nickel, you know? Just watch TV. Rove will tell you what to do, and then just go do it. Right? What is the point? And actually, you know what the problem is? The problem is that's what people have been doing in this country for about the past 25 years. They've just been watching television, seeing it won or lost on TV, and then they just go in and they vote, and then they just come out and say, okay, that's the result of the vote, okay? But they manipulated what you saw on television. You're not involved. You're not paying attention. You're not doing anything.
The king is dead.
That's
long
why you're
live
losing.
The king. Yeah.
Exactly.
So the king is dead, long live the king. I mean, it just gives you this semblance of democracy when it is absolutely an oligarchy. Now, I know that we're sounding pretty doom and gloom text, but the fact is that we can do something about this. But it's getting pretty fucking late in the game, and if we don't get awake now and realize that November 6th is not the end of the line, it is the beginning of the next battle. And if this, in fact, is devolving from republic to empire, then it's way past time for a rebel alliance. And when I say rebel alliance, put down your hatchet, quit nitpicking with every other person because they're not conservative enough or they're too libertarian or they're not this or they're not that. Make coalitions, find common cause, because if we don't restore a true democratic process to voting for our elected representatives in this republic, it's all gone. And those distinctions that we have with other people, or you're too libertarian, you're too conservative, or what have you, won't matter, because we will get nothing but fascist after fascist after fascist, and they will just rule you with, not with an iron fist, by the way. They're going to rule you with very nice light velvet glove, and they're probably going to medicate you and give you some freebies here and there or some opportunities for more bread or more circuses so that you will just be a compliant slave. But that's not America. That's not the country we thought we grew up in. It's not the country our founding fathers gave us. And you've got to get off your ass and get involved. And don't give me this crap of like, well, I'm not really interested in politics. And I've talked to other people, even though I'm interested. They're not really
interested.
Find
new interests.
Exactly. It's not a game you can opt out of. I mean, it's just that simple. And the amazing thing to me is, I mean, you know, going with the analogy here is, the Empire took over because, quote, this is, you know, from the Star Wars movies, which I'm sure that you've seen because they're very popular. They've been around for near 40 years. The Empire was duly elected through the electoral process of the Republic, and it became a tyrannical governmental fascist system. But some people said, no, we're not going to go along with this. And that's where you get your, you know, smugglers like Han Solo and your outer rim planet people who want their own planetary sovereignty. And you get, of course, the Jedi Knight who kicks some serious ass. So your mission, if you're listening to this show, and if you're not, what the hell's wrong with you? But if you're listening, your mission is to become the new Jedi Knights of these United States of America. Because if you don't stand up now and take those levers of power that our founding fathers gave us and exercise them and empower your local representatives and your states to bring back open voting, paper ballots, state sovereignty, nullification of extra-constitutional federal laws in order to put some sanity back into this electoral process, then it's all gone.
Well, you know, Rex, and here's something. Our founding fathers, they gave us a lot of levers of power, right? Because they looked at and they studied power and how it works, how it's corrupted, and how it's basically destroyed, right? How the people are screwed over time after time. And they created certain levers in order to ensure that that wouldn't happen. But they always said that it's going to require an educated and invigorated populace that is paying attention and standing up for their rights and what they believe, right? And so some people had a long road to hoe before they got, you know, their full rights and all that kind of stuff, and other people, they had a shorter path, right? But we all came to this place, okay? And now no one's paying attention. And so when I talked to people and I said, you know, look, the delegates can go to the convention and they pick who it is. They're like, what? What do you mean when I go vote at the election, it doesn't count? No, it doesn't count. It doesn't, because, you know, what does that take? You got up off your ass, you watched television, you got up off your ass, you went to the poll, and you checked a box, right? How involved are you? Did you contribute any money to this thing? Have you held up a sign? Have you done anything to support the party?
Do you even know who you voted for? Who did you vote for?
Who did you vote for? Exactly. And you know
the
what?
Republican.
This person,
I voted for the Republican.
This person, they hate Mitt Romney. They did nothing but talk shit about Mitt Romney for 8 months. And you know what now they're doing? Well, it's our only chance to beat Obama. Well, fuck
you. What that mean?
See, this is why the delegate system exists, to save you from you, because you're an idiot. You know, they voted Hitler in, right? I'm not saying Romney's Hitler, but I'm just saying that it's not like the people are putting a lot of thought into this crap. Like, I don't know, I saw an ad, looked pretty good, you know, so I like that ad. And then somebody said, well, Hitler's the inevitable winner, so I'm going to go vote Hitler because now I'm a winner, you know. I feel like a winner because I voted for I voted for that guy, then he won, you know. So it's like I got the winning ticket in the horse race there, and so now I can collect my winnings, which apparently is death camps or, you know, whatever the hell it is, or Obamacare. Oh, shit, you know, I didn't really think about that. I just want to feel like a victor for a small period of time. That's what the delegate system exists for. That's why you have an electoral college, because people are moved by all kinds of stupid crap. And it's
the passions of the populace can easily be exploited by the most charismatic or the most well-funded media marketing machine in order to sway you, given false information or some present situation. I mean, like I heard this crap. Oh, Obama was so gracious and nice, and he connected with people over this disaster from Hurricane Sandy, and so now I'm going to vote for him. Are you kidding me?
You're going to make the decision to give a man the most powerful office in the known world through all of human history because he hugged somebody after a hurricane? Come on. Look at his policies. Look at what he's done. Well, yeah, that's why I've looked at him, and I'm so scared that I want to vote for Romney. Have you looked at Romney's policies? Romney created Obamacare before Obama was president. And he keeps talking this bullshit about repeal and replace Obamacare, which is one of the big reasons you're voting
Except
for this son of a bitch.
Likes.
Yeah, but so he's going to repeal Obamacare and replace it with what? Romney Care? You kidding?
Yeah. I don't know. The thing's 3,000 pages long. You say there are parts you like. How many pages do you like? What are we talking, 2,900 pages you think are good? Or it's like one page. It's like, hey, I like that title. I thought that was good, you know. It's like it was a title, it was in big font, and then it was like a subtitle, that was in small font, and I thought that was very, you know, terse, it kind of summed it up real good, right? So somewhere between one page and 2,900 pages are the pages that Romney likes, but he's never, what is it you like, dude?
I'll tell you what it is. It's a very simple thing. He doesn't have any problem with the structure, because it's the same friggin' structure as Romney Care. What he has a problem with is the favored insurance companies that Obama picked and Pelosi picked, because he's got his own set of insurance companies he wants to pick. It's sort of like the whole bullshit with, well, look at what Obama did with Solyndra and all these green things. Yeah, it's not that you don't like corporate welfare, Mr. Romney. It's not like you don't want to distribute money to your crony friends. It just happens to be that none of your crony friends are in the, quote, green energy business. So you're going to take that money and funnel it over to some other boondoggle where your friends work. So that's the only difference. It's who is going to where the corruption is going to flow. It's not that there won't be corruption or that the policies will be different or that you'll have more money or your tax rates will be cut. You'll still be screwed. The only difference between these two guys is which wheels are they greasing. That's the difference.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
And precisely why Tex just told you. That's why we had the delegate system. That's why we have the Electoral College. Because people who are actually going to get off their ass, not only every year to vote, since most people only go every 4 years, every year to vote, but are actually going to go to conventions and caucuses and meetings and study the issues and understand the players and look at people's records. That's somebody who's motivated, who's active, and who's not only qualified by virtue of citizenship, but is qualified by virtue of their background, experience, and expertise being involved to exercise a informed decision. What you're supposed to do is vote for that person to represent you, but that person knows more than you do because they took it upon themselves to do that. They're qualified to vote.
This personal nightmare down here in SB7, all right? Okay, so you know, it comes up for the primary, and people are running for office, right? And so they say, okay, well, I want to be a Republican Party office holder, okay? So then there's this guy who says that he wants to be a Supreme Court justice, okay, down here, all right? So he's running for Supreme Court justice. And so he runs as a Republican, right? And there's a guy who was the Republican Supreme Court justice. His name was Medina, right? And he actually was doing a good job, okay? And then this guy, whose name is, this is Justice Supreme Court Place 4. His name is John Devine, okay? So John Devine starts running, and so the Republican Party goes and says, hey, you're running on our ticket. You know, we just want to find out something about you, why you're running for Republican Party ticket. And he says, oh, well, I'm running because the other guy's last name is Medina, and that's Hispanic, and my last name is Devine, and so people are going to vote for me because it's Devine Justice, right? And the Republican Party leadership, I'm not kidding him. And the Republican Party leadership down here was appalled because they actually liked Medina, right? They thought he was doing a good job. And also the Republican Party is trying to encourage Hispanics to come into the party. And so no one endorsed this guy, and actually the Republican Party leadership tacitly went out and they campaigned against him. I say tacitly, everything I read, they said they were against it, but apparently they were so quiet nobody caught on. And guess what? When I went to vote, who's on the fucking ballot? John Devine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you know what? You guys, you just went out and you did this. You didn't pay any attention. You didn't do any research. You didn't look. You didn't look at anything. You're just like, hey, I want to go vote for Mitt Romney as president because I heard he's a winner. oh, now I'm going to go vote for all these other Republicans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't research anything. You didn't do anything. You didn't even do your basic homework. Do you realize what you're doing to this country? My
Tex,
God.
The extent of involvement that happens, and I don't know, you know, Texas is kind of, I guess, a foregone conclusion, so you probably didn't get this, but today in my mailbox, I had 18 pieces of political propaganda from Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, and a couple other local douchebags, okay? Because Virginia's, quote, a swing state, and it's a big deal here. So if the extent of your research is to read these propaganda pamphlets that tell you how great this guy is or how great that guy is and then pick based on that, please don't vote. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous to encourage Americans not to vote, but if that's the extent of what you're going to do before you go to the polls, please don't go vote. You've got to know more because they say shit and they do different stuff. And if you only go by the shit that they say, they might line up with you. Because I can tell you what, I can go back through the last year text and I can pull enough clips of Romney to actually make him sound severely conservative and like a guy you would want to vote for. But I can also go back and find every other thing where he sounds exactly opposite. And then I can go back and look at his actual record, and it stinks. And that's what people are not doing. You know, there was recently Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis movie. Yeah.
At least the people who aren't voting, at least they have the decency to realize that the reason that they're not voting is because the thing's rigged, right? So they actually, they have more sense than the people who are voting right now. They're like, oh, good, I matter.
I matter, but I don't know
squat.
Don't
find the dudes who aren't voting who are like, oh, that's how those dim Republicans or those Republicrats get you. Find that guy. At least he's half awake. He's got one eye open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the land
well,
of
the
one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, Tex, the way you find that guy is you implore your state to reinstate write-in ballots, paper and pen ballots, publicly viewed counting of ballots, and you tell them that you also want an option in the ballot that says no confidence. Because I guarantee you that half of those 90 million who do not show up to vote will show up to mark that check and say, all of these losers suck. And if enough people vote for no confidence, guess what? Have another election with new choices, because guess what? We've rejected the losers you put up this time. That's a pretty important thing, and we need to have that on our ballots, because a lot of people simply stay quiet because, like you just said, they know it's rigged or they think the candidates suck so bad they don't want to participate. Well, if they could actually sound their voice by voting no confidence, then we would know, oh, my goodness, 68% of the people in this district said they don't like any of the assholes you put on the ballot. You better go find some real people, real delegates, real representatives to put on the ballot so we can get representation in Washington, because if we don't get our shit together soon, they're going to start their session and we're not going to be there because we can't get our act together. You know, that's what has to happen. And it's the only way you get the corruption out. You bring it down to the local level and you get involved. You don't just vote the jersey. You don't vote for who's got the nice pamphlet. You don't vote by, you know, who sent you the nicest
like
bouquet of flowers. What's that? Yeah, he looks like a president.
He looks like a president. Binders of women.
Binders of women. Good Lord. I mean, it's frightening that we got here. But look, folks, the important thing is getting involved. And the reason we're telling you this, I'm about to open up the lines, but the reason we're telling you this is because one of three things is likely to happen on the morning of November 7th, okay? It's either going to go into an extended legal battle, or God knows, maybe no one gets 270 and actually goes to the House and they have to decide. Maybe, who knows? That's a remote chance, but it's always possible. But likely, if we were looking at the actual Electoral College, Obama's going to be reelected. Now, the narrative that I've been hearing pretty much tells me that the powers that be and the moneyed interests have picked their buddy Romney, and he's going to be the winner. So if I was a betting man today, Tex, I would tell you I think Mitt Romney's the next president. But if that happens, anybody who knows he's not a conservative, as they watch their friends cheering that Obama's gone and happy days are here again, is going to know that we're in for it. Now, there's going to be a slight tinge of hope that, well, at least he's not Obama. Maybe he'll do something conservative. Okay, or you're just going to feel a completely hopeless situation like, oh, shit, I can't believe they did it. They stuck us with a Democrat in our party. They stole the nomination, and now they've actually won, which means that they're going to tell us, hey, look, screw you. We don't need you. We don't need your vote. We don't even need your money. We win without you. Either way, you're going to feel like someone punched you in the gut. And if the other scenario happens where Romney loses and Obama wins, you're going to feel kind of relieved. Well, at least the liberal Democrat didn't win in our party, but oh, shit, we've got four more years of Obama. And you're going to feel like somebody kicked you in the nuts or in the gut. So when that happens, you got to walk it off, because that's when the real work begins. They're going to start spinning things, and they're going to start with their, you know, preparation for January 20th and the first 100-day honeymoon where they get all their crap shoved through Congress and all this garbage, okay, as unemployment keeps rising above 22%, as the dollar keeps dropping like a brick, as goods get very expensive. And if you want a taste of things to come, just look at the Northeast right now. Gas stations are out of gas. The food stores are empty. People can't move around. Okay, it's a disaster. We're going to see more of stuff like that, and it won't be necessarily naturally caused. So what you've got to do is you've got to realize that November 7th is the first day of the rest of your newly active political life. Because if you're not politically active in this country, you're dead, okay? It's the quick and the dead. Either get active and get involved and fix it, or say goodbye to the United States as we know it. It's that dire. It's not just about losing the Republican Party. Because if we lose the conservative bulwark against the statist rise, which was the Republican Party, the party of Goldwater, the party of Reagan, the party of Gingrich, okay? If we lose that bulwark, then we can't win. It's all over. Just statists all around. Okay? We could have had Gingrich.
The leadership went and they decided to join the Democrats. That's what they did. Okay? And in the process, they trampled all over you, and they're trampling all over you now. So you may be rid of the hated Obama, but you know what? The Republican leadership, the John Boehners of the world, the, you know, the Karl Roves, all these guys, they didn't hate Barack Obama. They wanted to be him. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be that guy. And you know what's inhibiting them from being Barack Obama? You. And so they're trampling all over you.
That's right.
And you're going along with it. Now, right now, this is not, I mean, it's before the election, so this is not a message that some of you even want to hear. You know, you reject it. And you're angry. Oh, how can this guy is saying these controversial things or whatever? I'm telling you, after this thing, you just watch it over and over. You're going to get sold down the river, right? But here's the worst part. For those of you who really will never listen and who really are committed to the Jersey, the party over your principles, which the Founding Fathers said is not only wrong but evil, you're going to do it to yourself. Because every time Mitt Romney does something that completely goes against what you believe, you're going to listen to some take on it that's going to make it sound okay, and you're going to adopt that take and those talking points, and you're going to go advocate against what you actually believe. And you're not even going to do it knowingly. Or maybe you are, but you so care about the team that the reason that the team came together in the first place doesn't even matter to you anymore, right?
Yep.
You know, I'll tell you a little something. I watched, for those of you out there, a little sci-fi fan, I watched a little Babylon 5 this evening, and they had this race of aliens, and they had a population problem. So the way they solved it is everybody stood up, they went, they walked up, and they grabbed a sash out of a barrel. And if you got a green sash, you're on the green team. If you got a purple sash, you're on the purple team, right? And then they all went and they killed each other based on whatever sash they picked, right? But there was no reason behind it. It was just that's what you happened to pick. And so now you're on this team, and the other team has to die. There were no principles. They were just fighting for the team. And that's what a lot of our current voters are like. They just see the jersey. They just fight for the team. There's no reason behind it or why you're doing what you're doing or thought. It's just that's the other guy. I'm this guy. That's what's got to stop.
Us versus them, divide and conquer. They've got us pitted against each other. Oh, a vote for a third party is a vote for Obama. Oh, my goodness, if you don't vote for Obama, if you vote for Jill Stein, you're electing Romney, and he's awful. They've got us fighting with each other so that we don't turn our attention and train our sights on them. And what's going to happen is you're going to wake up November 7th, and no matter what insipid moron won, quote, won, whatever the result happens to be, you're going to feel like you're in the toilet.
Game over, man. It's game over.
But what I need you to do is grab yourself by the bootstraps and realize that now that you've seen what they've done, what we've been predicting for over a year, what we've been talking about and fighting against, and you actually see it being done, that's when you've got to stand up and be counted and do the hard work.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
So you grab your lightsaber, you get to work, whacking the Empire, whittling it down, bringing it back to the Republic. All right, Tex, we're at the top of the hour. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. Unless you've got something to add, my co-host, I'm going to go ahead and bring it to a caller.
No.
You want me to
bring the caller in?
All right. Our first caller is actually none other than the illustrious host of Constitutional Conservatives Unite, broadcasting tonight at midnight, directly after the Tex and Rex show, Sammy Sanford. Good evening,
Sammy. Hey, Rex and Tex. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing well. We're
good.
Talking about...
Good. How are you, Sammy?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. And the attacks at me are coming multiplied probably 100 times.
Well, of course. We're in the final hour, Sammy. This is it.
Yep.
This is the end of the rope, and they're pulling out all the stops because it's not so much that they're worried about losing, okay, because your vote, my vote, or whoever's listening, that's not going to change it. What they're worried about is the narrative, and they're worried about that you're going to keep continuing to say what you're going to say after the election, which means that you're either going to actually hold their guy to the fire or tell them the reason Barack Obama's back in the White House is because of you people, and that's
exactly
what they can't have. That's what they can't have.
Why exactly? There were now 5 votes for Virgil Goot. Here in Florida, I will, and you can say, oh, I'm voting for Barack Obama, and you can put out that misconception about voting for Barack Obama. I am not voting for Barack Obama. I am fighting for my grandkids. And if we don't start changing it now, Warren Roach is a pretty big poster on Facebook. Me and him talked the other week on telephone. And I told him, I said, look, it's not about getting Mitt Romney there, then start changing it after the election. We got to start changing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And by you voting for Mitt Romney, or you're voting for Barack Obama, you're doing the same thing. It's a duopoly, and I'm not sure who came up with the word.
I believe that word's existed for a long time, Sammy.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that we, Tex and Rex, started using, and I believe also Randy, the vice president, vice chair of the Constitution Party, has been using it for a number of years, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he will be on my show tonight. Me and him chatted earlier. He will be on my show tonight at midnight or sometime afterwards. But we cannot shut up. We cannot back down. Rex, I mean, and the funny thing about it, Rex and Tex, and they're saying I went to Tampa off my fundraiser for Newt Gingrich. And
really? What did you hack into the newt.org website? I didn't know you had those kind of skills, Sammy.
I mean, these are...
If that's true, Sammy, you owe me a lot of money.
that is so sad.
Get the rubber hose, Tex.
Yeah, that's right. Get the rubber hose. Let's get back in that drip room.
That is so sad. Rex, Tex, Donna, and let me trying to remember what he likes to go by now.
Jim Foxworthy.
Foxworthy. They paid for my whole time down there in Tampa. I didn't.
Now you bought the beer, Sammy. You bought the beer.
Yeah, I bought probably a 12 pack or 18 pack.
Whatever. After the first four, who's counting?
Yeah. Who knows? Those are big packs. That's all I know. There are a lot of soldiers in those packs. So.
But I sit here and laugh my ass off. And let me go and educate you who Silver Tuna is, if you don't mind. Silver Tuna is, oh, Lord, what was his name? Something Post, Wade Post. That
I thought it was Prince Pubic.
But I laughed my ass off at them. I mean, I've been getting some nasty emails because these people will not stand up for what they believe in and come out and say who they are. And they are cowards. And, I mean, if you're going to support Mitt Romney, that's your constitutional right. If you're going to support Barack Obama, that's your constitutional right. But if you're truly constitutional conservative, you will either go for Virgil Goot or go for Randy Johnson, plain and simple.
Or you write in Ron Paul.
You write in Ron Paul. And here in Florida.
Or Newt Gingrich, right?
You can write in Newt Gingrich. Why not?
Well, they've changed the write-in process here in Florida.
Well, what I'm saying is in some states,
people can't vote for who they want to vote for.
Exactly.
That's what they
did. In some states, you can write in whoever you want. In other states, you have to register. The only reason I would say, and it's nothing against Newt, because I don't think anybody can take away from Newt Gingrich the great things he did for everybody in this country in the 90s as Speaker of the House. Okay.
I think his best days are before him.
Yeah. Well, I believe that if there's going to be a conservative resurgence in this Republican Party, it's going to be led by him. But here's the thing. My only concern with anybody writing in Newt Gingrich is, as of right now today, publicly on the record, Newt Gingrich is campaigning for Mitt Romney, which is almost like saying, hey, let's go with the establishment Republican. That's the only. Now, if you're compelled to do it, by all means, write in Newt. Write in Ron Paul. Write in anybody who is not part of this oligarchy. Yeah, just don't vote for Mitt Romney or Barack Obama.
For God's sake.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, at long last, have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, no sense of decency.
And if you're a liberal... If you're a liberal who's got a sense of decency, even though I just can't understand your ideology, but let's just say that you're a committed principled liberal, don't vote for Barack Obama. He's not representing you. Vote for Jill Stein or Rocky Anderson, for God's sake. They're actually standing up for the things in which you believe, wacky as those might be.
Well, and tomorrow night, I got a very special guest. I'm doing the show at 9 o'clock, and I think you will probably all like it.
Okay. You got my interest peaked, Sammy.
Yep. And I can send out in Rex and Tex, I will send you an email who it is once I get off the show. But
okay.
we're going to have an awesome show tomorrow night. It's got to deal with the Constitution. And the guy The guy is an awesome patriot and an awesome Christian, and I'm called right now what they're out there tweeting on me and tweeting or Facebooking on me. I'm not a Christian because I call Mitt Romney not a Christian.
But he's not. He's not.
No, he's not. No, he's
That's
not.
That's just a fact. That's a fact.
Yep.
That is a fact.
And, I mean, they're coming at me like crazy right now.
Well, Sammy, this is the shape of things to come. And this is what's going to happen to all of us, even if you don't have a Blog Talk Radio show or you're not Facebooking about this stuff. It's going to happen to you. You're going to feel it on the morning of November 7th when more than likely Romney wins or possibly Obama wins. Either way, you're going to feel it. Because if Obama wins, They're going to blame conservatives who didn't come out to vote for their Mitt Romney. And if Romney wins, they're going to tell you, to hell with you, we don't need you because we can elect liberals without you and still get the White House. And so you're
exactly.
going to feel like you're under attack the way Sammy is under attack right now. That is not the time to capitulate. It's not the time to get quiet. It's actually the time to strike, and strike hard for the cause of liberty, for true conservative principles, and the restoration of the Constitution.
Well, if you pack it in then, you're done. That's the end of you. Because what they're saying is, look, we don't like you. We don't want to hear your voice in this government anymore. What we really want to do